Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Jonathan Clements. Jonathan, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely, George. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jonathan is the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com, the author of From Here to Financial Happiness, as well as How to Make Money, and seven other books. He is the director of financial education for creative planning in Leawood, Texas. I'm excited to have you on. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
So I've been writing and thinking about money for 33 years. I started out as a journalist in London, moved to New York, worked for Forbes magazine for a brief period, and then I spent the bulk of my career, almost two decades, with the Wall Street Journal, where I was the paper's personal finance columnist. I also spent 6 years on what my friends would call the dark side. I worked for Citigroup, where I was director of financial education. In recent years, I've been doing a variety of things. I've taught a college course on personal finance. I've done some freelancing. But most of my energies have been devoted to two things, writing books and running my website, humbledollar.com. And all of this is about money. And money really is central to so much of what we do, in many ways too central. We spend too much time worrying about money, in part because we live with so many financial misconceptions. We don't really understand how to manage money or what it could do for us.
Isn't that the truth? So, okay. Well, that is certainly some excellent ethos for people to know that you know what you're talking about, writing for the Wall Street Journal and certainly working for Citigroup. What was the motivation for writing the blog and naming it Humble?
So when it comes to money, people are way too confident. They think they know what they want to achieve with their financial lives. They think money will buy them happiness. They think they can outguess the financial markets. They think in any particular situation that they know precisely what to do. And again, we are proven wrong. And let's just go to one of my favorite statistics. If you ask somebody, does money buy happiness? You know, they almost instinctually say, yes, of course money buys happiness. If I had more money, I would be happier. Well, over the past 44 years, a survey has been conducted every couple of years called the General Social Survey. And as part of the General Social Survey, there's a core question. How would you say things are today? Would you say that you are very happy, somewhat happy, or not too happy? When that question was first asked back in 1972, 30% of Americans described themselves as very happy. In 2016, when they conducted the latest survey, 30% of Americans described themselves as very happy. Over the intervening 44 years, U.S. inflation-adjusted per capita disposable income rose 119%. In other words, today we are living more than twice as well as we lived four decades ago, and yet our reported level of happiness has not budged. Money has not bought happiness. People spend their daily lives pursuing dollars, certain that more of them, more dollars, will make their lives better. And yet, the data tells us it simply isn't the case. And it's not, I should hastily add, because money can't buy happiness. It's really because we don't know how to use it.
I think that's so interesting, and I'm definitely going to dig into that survey that you referenced, talking about how only 30% of Americans describe themselves as very happy. So hopefully there's a large majority that say that they're sort of happy, and hopefully not unhappy. But I think that we all know that as a rule, Americans are kind of lousy with money. We're not good savers. I guess it's just really habits, and maybe it's just the way that we think about money in general is flawed. And I definitely liked reading on the Humble Dollar, talking about how your goal is to make the site an encyclopedia with attitude. And obviously that attitude being humility, because I think that that's such a good way to approach it. Obviously the numbers point to the fact that we are not good with it. So to be cocky or to be overconfident in regard to it is probably a fool's errand. So.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, George, what I would say to people is, you know, if they want to be financially successful, you know, it all starts with great savings habits. If you don't have great savings habits, nothing good is going to happen financially. I don't care how astute you are as an investor. If you don't have money to save, if you don't have money at stake in the financial markets, it doesn't really matter how good your investment returns are. In order to make money, you need to start with money. And that money that you start with comes from good savings habits. But of course, people say again and again, I just don't have money to save. Everybody can find money to save. The problem is the temptation to spend are so great. And yet, as the statistics I mentioned show, the money that we spend isn't buying us happiness. So what I would say to people is you need to be much more thoughtful about how you use your dollars. You need to stop making impulse purchases. Instead, before you spend your dollars, you should pause and reflect and think about how you could best spend your money in order to generate greatest happiness. And that isn't immediately obvious to us. That's why we need to pause and reflect. And when you pause and reflect, you shouldn't just be thinking about, should I buy good A today or product B? Instead, you should say, well, all right, should I not buy either product A or product B? Instead, maybe I should save it for the future, because the fact is one day you will be your future self. If you are 20 years old today, there is a 90% chance that you will live to retirement age. Right. One day you will be retired. You will be that future person. And at that point, you're going to need a lot of money. Saving now to make your future self happy and secure is a really smart thing to do. And you're not really giving up a whole lot, because statistics show us money isn't really buying us a whole lot of happiness in the present.
Yeah, you know, I think we are definitely on the same page with that, and we all, hopefully, God willing, will all be the future version, the future older version of ourselves, and that person will be very grateful to us if we are saving a little bit of money today. But that oftentimes, to your point, sounds easy and does hard, because we are attracted to shiny things, even though we haven't really given the thought to why it is that we are attracted to those shiny things. So, well, I think, again, if everything you're saying certainly resonates with me, and I can't encourage people enough to go to Humble Dollar and check it out, because it really is, in my mind, a very, very thorough repository of valuable information, and you've done a really great job of really bringing a really well-rounded amount of information to the site in all the important areas. I guess something that I'm curious about, with your experience working for financial media, well, I don't know if the Wall Street Journal is financial media necessarily, but also Citigroup, do you think that you'd be able to just focus on the fundamentals like you do now while you were working with Citigroup or the Wall Street Journal? Is it sexy enough to be able to do that?
When I was a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, I certainly, you know, did spend week after week, you know, writing about meat and potato topics, the need to save diligently, you know, the fact that you're highly unlikely to beat the market, so it makes sense to buy index funds that simply track the performance of the market averages. You know, I talked regularly about how you should only buy the minimal amount of insurance necessary, that you shouldn't go overboard on insurance, you shouldn't go overboard on complicated financial products, because more often than not, you know, complication means high fees, and high fees means less money in your pocket. The problem with writing sensible financial advice, beyond everything else, beyond the fact that, you know, Wall Street really doesn't like it because they make money by selling all of this stuff.
Right.
The real problem is it's actually quite simple. I used to joke when I was at the Journal that there are only 20 personal finance columns. So by the time I had finished up at the Wall Street Journal. I'd written each of those 20 columns 50 times each. The trick was just to make sure that people didn't notice. No, really, managing money is super simple. Prudent money management is not complicated. But while it is simple, it is not easy. The real difficulty with managing money isn't figuring out what you should do. It's getting yourself to do it. We all know that we should be saving for the future, and yet we find ourselves at the shopping mall. You know, we've all seen the statistics. Very, very few people manage to beat the market over the long haul. Very few people can forecast which direction stocks are headed. Very few people can figure out which way interest rates are headed next. And yet, you know, every day we're there in the financial markets trying to outguess other investors, trying to beat the market. You know, investing is simple, but it's not easy. And we are often our own worst enemies.
Isn't that the truth? It is simple, but not easy. So you referenced I think your newest book, kind of the idea of this hedonic treadmill, how we acquire new stuff and stuff that we're not necessarily even that excited about. And then once we acquire that new stuff, then we want even better stuff. And it does become this sort of a hamster on a wheel kind of a thing. And I got turned on to this idea of the practice of contentment some years ago. And that's just a matter of once I find myself wanting something more, better, or different, to take a step back, like you were talking about a little bit earlier, and really question, why is it that I want something that's more than I have, better than I have, or different than I have? So I just wanted to get some more thoughts on that.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the hedonic treadmill is essentially, you know, our instincts that we have inherited from our hunter-gatherer ancestors. We're here today because our hunter-gatherer ancestors were never satisfied with what they had. They never sat around and said, you know, we'll find dinner tomorrow. We're constantly striving for food, for shelter, to ensure that the family line survived. And we carry that restlessness within us. But the fact is, you know, constantly striving after that next promotion, that next pay raise, the bigger house, the faster car, even if you achieve these things, you very quickly become dissatisfied and start hankering after something else. So this is not the path to happiness. So the question is, what is? And I would say that money can do three things for us. First, if we're smart about money, if we manage to save some money and invest it in a prudent way, we will worry less about money. And that's a huge win. You know, money, I say to people, is sort of like health. It's only when you're sick that you realize how great it is to be in good health. Simply, it's only when you're broke that you realize how great it is to be in good financial shape.
Right.
So if you get yourself in good financial shape, you'll worry less about money. So that's the first thing that money can do for you. The second thing money can do for you is to allow you to have special times with friends and family. The research tells us that money is better spent on experiences rather than possessions. Experiences provide us not only with the chance to spend time with friends and family, but also they leave us with fond memories. And if anything, those fond memories grow even fonder over time as we forget the incidental annoyances and we remember the overall good time. So the second thing money can do for you is to buy you experiences, the dinner out, the family vacation, the family reunion. These are all great uses of money. And the third thing money can do for us is it can allow us to spend our days doing what we love. We get great pleasure from work, as long as it's work that we think is important, that we're passionate about, that we find challenging, that we find interesting. What you want to do is use your money to create a life for yourself where you can spend those things, your time on those things that you are passionate about. Now, all of us eventually get that opportunity come retirement, but if you're smart with your money, you can actually get there even earlier. You won't necessarily be able to retire early, but if you save diligently through your 20s and 30s, you may buy yourself the financial freedom so that in your 40s and 50s, you can swap into a career that's perhaps less lucrative, but you may find more fulfilling.
Appreciate that. Those are three excellent things. In your book, From Here to Financial Happiness, Enrich Your Life in Just 77 Days, I'm curious as to how you landed on 77 days.
Well, to be absolutely honest with you, George, when I sat down to draft the book, my goal was to have 101 days. Okay. But after going through all the days that I felt was necessary, I got to 78. And as any journalist can tell you, 78 is really a lousy number. If you want an eye-catching number, right. You generally want to have an odd number. It's, you know, it's never eight things to do now. It's always seven things to do now. So I got to 78, and it's like, nope, not a sharp number. Don't want 78. So I took two of the days, turned them into one, and I made it 77. And that's how I ended up with 77 days.
Got it. So is it actually a practical guide that says do one of these things every day for 77 days, each day for 77 days?
It is indeed. And each day you're either trying to, you know, learn a little bit about yourself and where you stand, or, you know, on a particular day you're learning a brief financial lesson, learning about some key financial concept. And on certain days you're putting together an action plan, certain steps you need to take. And if you go through the 77 days, I believe you'll have a much better understanding not only of financial issues, but also of what you want from your financial lives. And you'll have a series of steps outlined that you can take in order to get on the right track financially. Now, I don't want to oversell this. In 77 days, you will not be wealthy.
Right.
Be under no illusions. To grow wealthy, what it takes is years and years of regular savings and compounding in the financial markets. Nobody gets rich overnight. They only get rich over time. But in 77 days, if you follow the course of action laid out in the book, I do believe that you can get your finances in great shape and pointed in the right direction so that you are set for the years ahead.
No, I think that is fantastic. Well, Jonathan, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Personal finance columnists are always talking about saving, about investing, insurance, estate planning, stuff like that. But I got to go against the trend, and I'm actually going to talk about a spending issue. And my tip for listeners is this. Plan next summer's vacation right now. And why do I say that? Why should you plan next summer's vacation right now? One of the things that we know from the research is that the best part of spending money is often the anticipation of spending that money. So it's not actually taking delivery of the new car. It's thinking about the new car that you're going to get that is so pleasurable. So if you start planning next summer's vacation now, you get two bonuses. First, as you try to decide what vacation you're going to take, you can go on countless vacations in your own head. You can imagine going to exotic islands, traveling across the United States, going to Europe, whatever it is. You can have all these free vacations in your own head. And second, once you settle on that vacation, you're going to have 5 or 6 months to anticipate it. And that may turn out to be the very best part of the vacation.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
And Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? Where can they get a copy of your book?
I would encourage listeners to go to humbledollar.com, and there you'll find blogs that are published every day. You can learn a little bit more about me and my books, and hopefully, you know, you'll sign up for my regular newsletter and become, you know, a regular visitor to the site. I think there really is some great financial information there. Not just from me, but also from the fine folks who blog for me. So I hope people take a visit.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jonathan your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to humbledollar.com. And like I said, there's a ton of great information in every aspect of finance that you would ever want to or need to learn about. And sign up for the newsletter as well. Thank you again, Jonathan.
It's been my pleasure, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review,
And definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.